Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each time on Sunday morning as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's wonderful book. We also want to invite you to view our TV program that views right after this radio broadcast at 8 a.m. on channel number 6 on your public access station entitled Searching the Scripture. We encourage you to give it a listen each Sunday morning as we endeavor to show you the teachings of God's book. We also would invite you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find broadcast of our radio on there. The TV program is also there, so you can look at previous broadcasts. We also have a host of other Bible information that will be helpful to you in your study of God's Word. And then last, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our worship services and Bible studies at Harrodsburg. And we want you to know that we welcome you, and you will always be cordially received, and we want you to come and study and worship God with us. We are looking at the overview of the Bible, and we have thus far already looked at the Old Testament, and we have discussed so far this month the beginning of the New Testament by examining the first three books in the New Testament, the Synoptic Gospels. Today, we want to look at the book of John, and we will probably look at this book next week because it is a book that is very rich in its teaching, but it is quite different than the other three Synoptic Gospels that we have previously discussed. Whenever the life of Jesus Christ is discussed, we must acknowledge that he had two natures, humanity and deity. Luke made focus on his humanity, as we discussed last week. John will do the other of his nature, his deity, the Son of Man and the Son of God, both needed for men to understand and accept, and both are taught in the Gospels. How would John make his proposition more clear? We don't have to wonder. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, towards the end of his Gospel, he writes, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." Verse 30 and 31 of chapter 20. John's gospel is quite different than the other three. For one, it was written much later than the other three. This book consists largely of discourses and conversions of the Lord. It revolves around seven miracles and the seven I Am statements of the Lord. In John's Gospel, he goes into much more detail concerning the events leading up to the cross, especially his last hours with his disciples, where we have a detailed accounting in chapter 13 through 17. We remember Matthew's appeal to the Jew, Mark to the Romans, and Luke to the Gentiles and the Greek world. John's was a universal appeal. In John 3:16, probably the most quoted scripture in the world, and most misunderstood, I might add, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John's discourse leaves much of the material of the other three to them, but as much that they did not write about concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. John was a Galilean fisherman and a brother of James and the author of this gospel. Jesus' nickname for him and his brother were Sons of Thunder. Their father was Zebedee and their mother was Salome. Served Jesus in life and was at his crucifixion. Mark 15, verse 40 and 21. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved in chapter 20 and verse number 2. Both of these men were apostles of Jesus. John was part of the inner circle with Christ along with Peter and James. John was one of who Jesus gave care of his mother at his death in John 19, 26 and 27. He also authored four other books in the New Testament, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also is the author of the book of Revelation. This book was probably written between 80 and 94 A.D., probably in Ephesus, during his time in Ephesus. The key word in this gospel is faith in Christ. Three key passages are John chapter 1, 11 through 13, and John 3:16, which we refer to, and John 20, 31, which we also read. In chapter number 1, we have a very important statement made in this gospel in the first three verses. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with Him in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. We see in these first few verses, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and through Him all things were made. We also read in chapter number 1 that He is the light of the world. And we also see that John came to bear witness of that light. We also see in chapter number 1 and verse 14, He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. That word begotten means one of a kind. There was no other person that had both natures that Jesus had, as being both man and both deity at the same time. John bore witness of Him. And according to John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19 through 24, He assures the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders that He is not the prophet, He is not Elijah, He is not the Christ. He came to bear witness of that. And so His message was that of bearing witness to the prophet and to point them to Christ and not to Him. John was a witness at His baptism. We read in John 1:33, I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. We see in chapter number 2, the first miracle at the wedding feast in the Canaan of Galilee. In John chapter 3, we have the discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus about the need of a man to be born of the water and spirit. That is a spiritual birth. And one that is not born of the water and spirit cannot enter the kingdom of God. We see the discussion in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well, and to show that He was the Messiah. And He tells the woman He's the Messiah in verse 25 and 26. And the woman and the disciples marvel that He's even speaking to a woman. And the woman goes and tells the people of her experience, and this can only be the Christ, and they come out and see for themselves in John chapter 4, verse 28 through 30. But they began to accept, not because of the woman's words, but because of what they hear and see. He heals the paralytic man in chapter number 5. We see Him go up to the feast of the Jews, and He goes up to Jerusalem. We see that in the pool of Bethesda that He healed a lame man. We also see that He has equality that is equal to God. We see in John chapter 5, He Himself says that all in the graves will hear His voice at the final resurrection, and that there will be two destinies at the resurrection, at the final resurrection, one of life and one of eternal damnation. We also see in John chapter 5 that His works are a greater witness of His deity, and He does nothing of Himself, but only that which the Father gives Him. We see in chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000, given in great detail. In John chapter 7, Christ's own brother refused to believe in Him. His brothers want Him to display His miracles openly, because they did not even believe themselves. And the brothers are told to go up, it's safe for them, but Jesus will come later, and He will come secretly into the feast. In John chapter 8, we have the woman that's caught in the act of adultery and brought to Jesus in order to try to trap Him. But we see in chapter number 8 that their desire really was not to know the truth. They were trying to trap Jesus in His teaching, for they brought the woman alone. In John chapter 8, in verse number 12, He tells them that He is the light of the world. We also see in chapter number 8 that no one can lay hands on Him, for His time was not yet. We see in a discussion with the Pharisees that He tells them that He was before Abraham, and they begin to want to take stones and kill Him because He's equaling Himself to God. And we also see that how was He not even 50 years old, but He knew Abraham. But He says, before Abraham was, I am, in verse number 58. And they took up stones to kill Him, in verse number 59. In chapter number 9, He heals the blind man. And again, the disciples ask a very difficult question. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus correctly answers that neither of them sinned, but he took the opportunity of this blind man to demonstrate his power. And then the blind man is brought into the Pharisees and questioned concerning how he was healed, and he sticks to his story, and they finally will throw him out of the synagogue because they deny that Jesus is the Christ, and they will cast any out who confess him as the Christ. In John chapter 10, we have the important teaching of Jesus as the shepherd that gives his life for his sheep. And we see in chapter number 10 a very important passage in verse 27 and 28. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Many teachers of false religion misuse verse 28 by teaching eternal security, but the guarantee of verse 28 can never be accomplished without, number one, the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd, number two, him knowing them because of their conduct and their actions, and number three, that they follow him. That means that men must continually follow the shepherd in order to be not only saved, but in order to be accepted by him. And then in John chapter 11, we see the resurrection of Lazarus, where Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, and he is raised by Jesus. And we know the sister said that he would have never died had Jesus been there, and he correctly tells him that he is the resurrection in chapter number 11, and that he no longer walks openly among the Jews after this because he is fearful because they are going to try to kill him, but his time is not yet. In John chapter 3, Mary anoints the Christ before his death with the precious ointment. They are so mad about the resurrection of Lazarus that they seek to kill Lazarus in order to take away the evidence that he had done this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. And then in verse 12 through 15, we have the triumphal entry recorded of Jesus in Jerusalem. We also see in verse 20 through 22 that the Greeks come up and sought to see Jesus. The hour had come that the Son of God is about to be glorified, according to verse 24 and 25. And the cost of discipleship is going to be steep for those who want to follow him. He cannot pray to the Father to relieve him from this hour. Why? Notice his words in John chapter 12, verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify me. Glorify your name." Then a voice from heaven said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." He knows he's going to die, and he wants to glorify his Father by fulfilling the mission that God sent him to do. They said that the law, that Christ remains forever, how then can he be lifted up in verse number 34? And Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in verse 37 through 40. He knew that his command was everlasting life, and he was spoken just as the Father had told him, and this even incensed them to even hate him even more. Next week, we're going to see the final teaching of Jesus before the final conversation that he has with his disciples. It is very important because John records the final hours before he is handed over to his enemies, and we want to look at that because that gives us insight into a very special promise that Jesus made to those disciples that would ensure that they could carry on his work. Yes, the Gospel of John emphasized the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. Please tune in again next week, and we will finish the study of this wonderful book.